We are lost without Him watching over us. And we are birds without wings. And we need Him more than we realize. And there is a love story. And you're in the love story. And it started from the beginning of time, and it will last forever. And you are the character. You are the main person in that love story. And that love story is Christ saying, I love you this much. As far as the east is the west and the north is to the south, I love you and I love you. And He starts with me. I love Dennis. Dennis, yes, I love you. Don't miss out on the love story. Because if you don't have Christ, you're missing out. If you don't have Christ today, you are void. If you don't have Christ today, as she's saying, you can dream oceans full of dreams. And it's in vain without Christ. Know Him. Tonight we're going to talk about labor. Something we just don't talk much about, and it seems as though we labor all the time. So we're going to be in Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. But before I start, you know, these fraternal and sorority organizations, they have bring your child to work type days. So one of my employees said, well, you know, it's the beginning of school, and little Johnny asked if they could bring me to work, come to work with mom and see what I do. So I'm only going to have him here for half a day. And blah. I said, fine, you know, family's first with me. That's great. He was a cute little lad, and he came in, met the boss, and I stepped up and gave him lollipops, and everything was great. We had, back in the conference room, we had this video going, and he just kind of ruled the nest that day. So I said, well, what are you going to plan? I got ready to go. I said, I'll see you later. I've got business now. What are you going to plan for the weekend? It's Labor Day, and your mama gets a holiday. Mr. Dennis, mother gets a holiday for all of this much fun? I said, I'll tell you a secret. I agree, but don't tell your mom. No, I didn't say that. Okay. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. We find these words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I think it's important that we stop right there. Come unto me. This is Christ. Unto me, all, and that all, you need to put your name there. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek, lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. Heavenly Father, this is the time that you've appointed. This is a message that you've appointed that I could not get rid of because it is a message from you. But Heavenly Father, I pray that you stir our hearts. I pray that you help us to examine, starting with me first, as you showed me this week, that Dennis, you need to be careful of the labor. You need to make sure that you labor for me more than you labor for the world. That Heavenly Father, you will show us through these few moments the truths as we dig deep into the wells of your word, and that Heavenly Father, we will go home this next week, and we'll go home tonight with a gold nugget from your Holy Spirit about what we need to apply in our life, because Heavenly Father, the times are short and you're getting ready to come back, and you're depending on us to be fulfilling and seeking the Father's perfect will. So we thank you. Now remove anything that would hinder or distract us. May you give me the power through your Holy Spirit to speak as a dying man to dying people, because time is short, and Heavenly Father, you want your loved ones home. So we thank you, and may you have control of these next few moments. In your name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you, in the middle of a national holiday we call Labor Day, how do we, the body of Christ, look at labor and handle labor? And we are basically, our society, our culture, we are basically turning into something similar to the Pharisees. We have got to watch what we do. We have got to watch what we say. Poor Kathy and those in the school, I just cannot imagine the massive laws that we've got to watch what we can say, what we cannot say. And in God's eyes, in God's realm, if we are all we can be in Christ, then Dennis doesn't need to worry about what Dennis says, because Dennis is free in Christ. But we still have that tightrope. And it seems that a man gets a hold of issues, and we can really muddy the waters. So for a brief moment, we need to review how we labor and what we labor for, and we are entitled to a holiday for labor. But as we start, some of you may say, well, I'm retired, I don't work. But we do work. Every one of us work. Every day, God has got tasks before us, whether it is a caregiver, whether it is going to school, whether it is working in a tax office, whether it is shopping, whether it is praying for grandchildren, whether it is being faithful in the prayer request at this church. All of us have tasks, and this is labor. But let me ask you, how do we labor for the Lord? That's a real challenge for us this evening. So Labor Day, just a brief definition. Labor Day in the United States, and this is interesting, was declared a federal holiday and is observed on the first Monday in September. The first Labor Day in the United States, one of my boys asked me this yesterday, what is all this Labor Day about? Well, the first Labor Day in the United States was celebrated on September 5th, 1882, in the aftermath of deaths of a number of workers in the hands of U.S. military and U.S. Marshals after the 1894 Pullman strike in New York City. After that, President Grover Cleveland put reconciliation with labor as a top political priority, and in merely 6 days after he had the bill signed, Congress rushed legislation through. It seems as though they're still rushing legislation through, but we're not going to stop there. And as I was preparing this, it reminded me of an old hymn, and I mean of an old ballad, and I had to stop and ask my secretary, see if you can find 16 times. She said, you're a kid. And I said, no. So I sang it, and she goes, she said, I don't believe this. But all of you know the ballad of the 16 times. And I like that because, you know, you load 16 times, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me because I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. How true. How true of Americans today. We owe our soul to someone. Who do we owe our soul to? Jesus Christ, I trust you. You know, Jesus Christ is what it's all about. But brothers and sisters, there are so many people who owe their soul to so many other things that it's astonishing. And then when we try to give them the peace, when we try to share them the light of life and the purpose of life, it goes over their head. And that's what you and I are for. You and I are to share that light. So today we have parades and we have all kinds of things to celebrate Labor Day. But if we do a comparison, I just want to ask you this evening. Allow God, through His Son, through His Holy Spirit, to show you how you compare your vocational labor with your spiritual labor. It's rather frightening. How do we rate our exertion, our work, our toil for eternal benefits or for temporal benefits, such as retirement? How many of us would be hired and retained? And this is interesting. How many of us would be hired and retained as employees of the King of Kings if we fail at an application? You see, when you hire people today, you can't ask, and Kathy, you can vouch for this, there are certain things you just cannot ask. If they come in and they apply for a job and children are running all over, you cannot say, how many children do you have? You cannot say, do you have children? You cannot say, how many times have you been out sick? You cannot ask anything. But how many of us, if we applied to work for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, would even get in for an interview? How many of us could even fill out the application to work for Jesus Christ? But there's good news. The grace of God. The cross. The golden scepter. Because He's saying, you touch the cross and you accept me, that's a pivotal point in your life, boy, and you're going to work for me. Whether you want to or not, as my children, you're going to work for me. So this is not a gloom and doom. I don't do a good job. No, neither do I. But God is saying, what little bit you give me, Dennis, I can do abundance with it. But just give me some. So tonight, let me ask you, what vocationally, what do you and I spend time with and energy and devotion, pleasing ourselves, hobbies, or work? And what amount of time do we spend digging in God's Word, studying God's Word, quiet with God alone in this type of world that we're in, and in prayer? Do you get the picture? I don't know about you, but I don't need to wait for grades to come out. I get an F because there's a lot for Dennis to improve. Matthew 11:28, come. He's speaking to me, and the Bible is personal. So when you see that come, he's speaking to you. You put your name there. Unto me, that's Jesus, all that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. This is a new message, and this is interesting. This is a new message of Jesus, the rejected king, now turns from the rejecting nation and offers not the kingdom to the Jews, which they were looking for, but rest and service to all who are in conscious need of his help. Isn't that interesting? Because right up in chapter 27, all things... He tells them, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And then Christ says, come unto me. What a pivotal point in Christ's preaching. This is a pivotal point to the ministry of Jesus and a pivotal point in our lives. What have you and I done with Jesus? If we have asked Him into our lives, then we should and must labor for Him. Labor for Jesus. We must tie everything that we do in and weigh it on the scale of God. What is in this for you? And is this your will for me? And is this your meeting for me? And if it's not, I need to leave it alone and walk away. How many of us do that? How many of us labor and toil and pray over the meetings that we have? And I have to give you examples from what I have to deal with. So the question this evening is, do you labor for Jesus? You know, it's funny that from a young man or woman, we want to be when we grow up, we study and spend 12, 14, 20 years in school. It depends on how many of our parents will let us become professional students. And I hope Shelby and Kobe don't get any ideas about that. But then we spend 30 or 40 years working to amass wealth to be enjoyed when we no longer have to work. And if not taking into account God's plan and purpose, then we need to apply Ecclesiastes 1, where he says, what profit hath a man for all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? Or vanity of vanities. And I want to share with you, work becomes a necessary evil, and people will fill days causing stress and strain financially, physically, emotionally. Work careers with the labor it takes pulls us away from families, invades our homes, infiltrates our weekends through computers, emails, BlackBerry, cell phones. When we finally retire and our days are missing something, the need to be constantly active pursuing something. And in the end, when we die, we leave it all behind. And then what? Who cares? Hopefully for us, our children, when we get to the grave, his children, when we get to the grave, those of us who know Christ, those of us who try to balance and serve him, those of us who try that, we'll hear in Matthew 25:23, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But I want to share with you, and right now I'm dealing, and I have to give you these examples because this is where God has me right now. And this is what I have to see. But I see family after family and estate after estate fighting where someone has spent 60, 80, 90 years trying to amass a wealth in an estate. And by the time we get through court and by the time they come to us and we're handling titles and we're handling deeds and we're handling everything, it dwindles down to, you know what? Absolutely nothing. And I can tell the families that come in whose mother and father have left them a legacy of Christianity that Christ is first. Because to them it doesn't matter. To them, thank God mom and dad did this for us and we get on about business. But the others, the people who do not have that peace, the people who have not had spiritual legacy founded on the Bible and biblical principles, it is an absolute nightmare what we have to deal with. Absolute nightmare. To the point that last week, one of the judges came in the office and put all this on the conference table and said, tell me, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to toil and labor for Jesus Christ? Are you going to worry about what the devil's throwing out that's just temporary, that will go that fast? So let's look at what Christ recommends. What need is spent the same amount of time and energy developing our our spiritual focus and direction as we do our vocational, our hobbies? And what if we labored as hard on our very soul as we do on our vocations? Personal, spiritual inventory for growth. And what I'm saying here is that when you get ready to go on vacation, when you get ready to do something unique, as all of a sudden it seems as though you come alive. All of a sudden you have this energy. All of a sudden the humdrum of getting up and going to work is just disappeared. I know Jan, and Jan, forgive me, and I tell the boys, y'all forgive me, because I get so concentrated and so focused on what the world is throwing at me. I don't want to let that down. I don't want to let them down. And I end up spinning wheels, and the whole time I just need to get it right with Him and put on the yoke of Christ and keep Christ focused, and everything else will fall in place. So forgive me. Jan, forgive me. Church family, forgive me. Help me. Next time you see me, say, Dennis, it doesn't look like you've got the yoke of Christ on. It looks like you've got the yoke of Dennis, and it's wearing you out. Because that's what we're going to find in our study today. But today's code of ethics and requirements in the workforce and the employer and employee is an awesome and laborious task. One in which you need lawyers, HR consultants on 24/7, and we still get sued. And this past week, I was telling Jan, I had to run up to Jacksonville. And I had a meeting in downtown Jacksonville, and had a meeting with the HR attorney. And then I had a meeting with a firm that's getting ready to have an Obamacare, you'll like this, an Obamacare seminar. It's going to be 3 days trying to figure out the laws that we have to do as employers and how much money we're going to lose with the Obamacare plan. I thought, this is an absolute nightmare. But God, you've got me here and you've got these people, so we've got to pray and allow Christ to realm over all of these obstacles. There's a reason for all of this. But back to Matthew 11:28, the solemn preface which ushers in this invitation, Christ prefixes His credentials, His commission from the Father. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. That was in verse 27. So He comes here. He says, here is the offer itself that is made to us and an invitation to accept it. We are invited to Christ as our priest, our prince, our prophet to be saved. And we must come to Jesus Christ as our rest and repose ourselves in Him, where He says, come unto me. The first part of verse 28. Come unto me, Dennis. And note the character of the persons He has invited. All that labor and are heavy laden. This is an invitation which vibrates with opportunity. Men whose wearisome and efforts to achieve spiritual rest have not eased the burden of man-made obligations. And please, if you're sitting there and you're saying, but I have accepted Christ. Let me ask you, if you have accepted Christ, then you... and you don't lie in church, then you tell me that you're not weary. Then you tell me you don't get wore out. Because what are we laboring for? Do you see where the message is going? What are we laboring for? We should be laboring for Christ. We are heavy laden. And you know why? He knew that's His all. He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Dennis, one day, thank God for people praying for Dennis. Dennis found his name in that all where it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And now all of a sudden Christ is saying, come unto me, all. There's that word again. And it seemed as though Dennis found his name in that all again. So we're all inclusive in this message. We're all inclusive in this. Come, and that word come. And I like this. This is powerful. Come unto me. Christ knew the Pharisees. And Christ wasn't saying, as the Pharisees did, do. Do you get it? The Pharisees had the laws and everything that you had to do. And instead of saying, go do this and go do that so that your burden's not heavy, Christ simply said, come unto me. That is a verb. Just do it, Dennis. Come unto me. And He's saying to you tonight, come unto me. And He's saying to all of us, come unto me. Don't be weary. Don't be heavy laden, Dennis. You just lay it all down at the cross. You take on my yoke, because yokes are, we're going to talk about this in a minute, yokes are tailor-made. Isn't that cool? So Christ says, Dennis, your yoke is hanging over here on the barn of heaven, and you just need to take my yoke on and remember whose you are. And remember, the labor you're doing is my labor. And Dennis says the load is going to be so much easier. That's what Christ is saying to you and I tonight. The Pharisees all said do and tried to make the people follow Moses and the traditions. But true salvation, true peace, true joy is found only in a person. That person is Jesus Christ. To come to Him means to trust Him. And this invitation is open to those who are exhausted and burdened down. And this is exactly how the people felt under the yoke of the Pharisees and the legal system that we find in Matthew 12 tonight. And we continue to find in Matthew 23. Matthew 23:4. Let me share this with you. Matthew 23:4, we find, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." This is what they were dealing with at the time. Also over in Acts 15:10, we find these words. If I can find Acts here. Acts 15:10, we find these words. "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" So personally examine the ministries and they need help in the children's church on Sunday morning. Did I hear that? I think I did. So I think that some of us need to get home tonight and pray. And say, "God, is this where you want me?" Because you and I need to personally examine the ministries we support and take part in, service opportunities. So let me ask you, I'm just going to stop right here and step on some toes. Are you involved with them because God uses them to help others or because of some element of glamour, visibility, or uniqueness? Whew. Do you labor and focus on the reason for the ministry, on Jesus Christ, or are you supported because of bandwagon influence, the temptation to join in just because it's popular? Why do we do what we do? Is it because of Jesus and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, and because we reverently, quietly, prayerfully sought His will and this He opened the door? Or are we trying to influence others? But these verses have been called the Great Invitation. "Those invited are all ye that labor and are heavy trodden." And Christ's teaching has a special appeal for the poor, the downtrodden, the despised, rejected, suffering of earth. And it is incorrect to assume that only these are invited. Rather, that word all people are invited to come unto Jesus for peace and redemption. And in one sense or another, at one time or another, by some means or another, every soul ever born into this world is weary, heavy laden, and troubled by the common sorrows and calamities to which flesh is heir. Brother David mentioned a couple of Sundays ago that the Jewish wise men say it is of great sorrow at the birth of a child and in a celebration at the death of this same person, knowing what they must deal with on this side, on this turf. But this great invitation excludes no one. The common burden of sin, sickness, death, doubt, disillusionment, sorrow is an inevitable heritage of every man coming into this world. So therefore, reasons why men should come to Christ. For the rest He will give. For the rest they will find. Because Christ is meek and Christ is lowly in heart. And some of you have said, "Well, I've accepted Christ, but this message is still for us." And we're going to see the application as we continue. So although Jesus puts His early disciples to work, He knows He has to touch their hearts before He asks for their hands. So He promises to give them rest. Did you hear what I said? Although Jesus puts His early disciples to work, He knows He has to touch their hearts before their hands. Have you allowed Christ to touch your heart? Sometimes, and I just want to stop there, sometimes if you're uncertain, sometimes if you're just not sure, maybe before Christ can touch your hands and deal with your feet, He's got to get a hold of your heart and do some heart surgery on you. And then this word heavy laden, a word in season to Him that is weary, admitting the burden of sin, both the guilt and the power of sin in our lives. And all of those are invited to rest in Christ that are sensible of sin as a burden and groan under it. They are not only convinced of the evil of sin, of their own sin, but are contrite in soul for it. They are really sick of their sins. And I think the culture that we're in, until we start dealing with sin as God deals with sin, we are in a sick pagan culture. And until we Christians start dealing with sin, listen to me, until we Christians start dealing with sin according to God's standards, dealing with sin and fleeing from it and repenting of it, Did you hear what I said? Then we are going to be weary and heavy laden. So this message is for us as well as for those who have not accepted the great invitation. But I would go as far as to say the message is more for us because people are watching us and we are heavy and downtrodden and we act and respond just like the world. And the whole time, regardless of physically and emotionally how downtrodden we should be, we should have a lifting and we have a hope, and that hope and that lift is Jesus Christ, because one day He's going to lift us out of here, that's for sure. 25,000 feet and climbing, I can't wait. Boy, they think they have something at Disney World or whatever. They wait on me. We're going up. But Jesus speaks here of a figurative bondage of unprofitable labor under an inadequate understanding of God's law. Also in Galatians 5, and I like this, over in Galatians 5, Galatians 5, 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father and the younger men as brethren. And hold on, I'm in the wrong place. And we'll find it. I had another one marked. Galatians 5, 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with what, y'all? With the yoke of bondage. This is necessary preparative for pardon from sin and peace which brings rest. The comforter must first convince, that's in John 16:8. The invitation itself, come unto me, what have you done with the invitation? And then I like this. Then he holds out the golden sepulcher that we must touch the top of it and may live. Remember the story of Esther, and Esther went to the queen, to the king, and she said, "Pray for me. If I die, I die. But this may be the very reason that God has allowed me to come." And she touched the golden sepulcher, and the Jewish nation was saved. I want you to realize that salvation in God's plan is personal. That God has allowed you and you and you, and we could go around the room, each one of us within the sound of my voice, to be here at this time, at this place, just before the trumpet blows. So it's just at a time like this that God has asked you to reach out and touch the cross of Christ and accept Him and seek His fulfillment, because the trumpet's getting ready to blow. I want to ask you, have you reached out and accepted Christ? Have you reached out and not touched the golden sepulcher, but something far greater than the golden sepulcher? Have you reached out and touched the cross of Christ and said, "Lord, I'm yours. And I'm no longer going to be weary. And I'm no longer going to kick in. And I'm no longer going to fold up. But Christ, I want to be yours, because you've granted and you've promised me peace. And you promised that you'll do a great and mighty work through me. And Lord, it is all yours. It is all yours this evening." So the key to coming to Him is we must accept of Him as our physician, our advocate, freely willing to be saved by Him. And this is interesting, to be saved by Him in His own way and upon His own terms. And the blessings promised to those that do come is what? "I will give you rest." Truly rest is good, especially to those that labor and are heavy laden. And Jesus Christ will give assured rest to those weary souls that by a lively faith come to Him for it and are resting God in His love. And then let's just quickly, one moment, look at this rest. The rest He promises is a release from the drudgery of sin, not from the service of God. Did you hear me? The rest He promises, Brother Larry, is the rest from the sin, the rest that we struggle with, not the rest from serving Him. We are His ambassadors. We are His servants. We are minutemen for the cross on call 24/7. And then Christ has a yoke for our necks as well as a crown for our heads. And I love that. Amen, brother. Christ has a yoke for our necks as well as a crown for our heads. To call those who are weary and heavy laden to take a yoke upon them looks like adding affliction to the afflicted. But the pertinence of it lies in the word "my." You are under a yoke which makes you weary. Shake that off and try "mine," which will make you at easy. It is Christ's yoke. He doesn't wear the blisters on your shoulders. It is Christ's yoke, the yoke He has promised, the yoke He has Himself drawn in before you. He learned obedience because He obeyed the Father. The yoke speaks some hardship, but if the beast must draw, the yoke helps. And the Jews that He was speaking to could not understand. Yoke is burden, but Christ's yoke is a burden. We understand about putting the yoke on the oxen. And they're hauling a load. And Christ, that's a burden. What are you talking about? But Christ said, you don't understand yet. You see, you put my yoke on. And I know you have burdens because I've allowed the burdens to come into your life. Doesn't He tell us that? Nothing comes in our lives with that. So He's saying, Dennis, I know the burdens that have come into your life. They are my burdens. You are my child. This is my yoke, tailor-made to put on. Put it on. And let me be responsible for the load. And it's amazing, the load all of a sudden becomes lighter. But Dennis starts getting wore down. And Dennis starts getting these raw places, like when he jogs, and that shoe is just wearing that toe out, and my shoulders, and I'm just so burned down. And God said the other night, Dennis, get quiet with me. Because you see, son, my yoke is not doing what it's supposed to, because you've got carnality under the yoke. And Dennis, you have unforgiveness. And Dennis, you have to call and make things right. And Dennis, you need to pray about that person who won't look you in the eye. And next time you see them, say, I love you in the Lord. And all of a sudden, Dennis's yoke started carrying the load again. Yesterday, we were coming back from Ocala. And this is... the boys and I were talking about some goofy thing. You know, with teenagers, you never know what's going to come up. And we went flying by, and I saw this yoke. I started to slam on brakes. I said, no. And I debated, and I said, did y'all see the yoke back there hanging on that barn? Daddy, what's a yoke? I said, oh, if you were ox, you'd know what a yoke was. Daddy, what's a yoke? I said, it's a wooden harness like we used to have for a horse for Sonny Boy. And if I got the wrong bit in Sonny Boy and I used another horse with a wider bit, and some of you farmers know, or a smaller bit, and you put that in that horse is going to buck you off. Well, let me ask you, is the yoke of Christ properly on you tonight? You see, some of you have burdens. Everyone in the sound of my voice, you have burdens and you have tasks. And you have to go to school tomorrow. And you have to go to work tomorrow, Dennis. And you have to deal with people sometimes you don't want to deal with. But your yoke's going to start rubbing you, Dennis, if you don't go in Christ. If you're not prayed up. If you don't have the peace and the rest that Christ promised, then Dennis deserves to be wore out. But Christ can't use him wore out. But Dennis is going to be miserable until Dennis gets quiet with Christ and Christ shows Dennis what he needs to do to get it right. A good illustration is that, and this is true, something happened and I got a little upset. Some of you know a little Irish temper sometimes can show, and I had to just tell everyone, I call everyone. They said, we're open for business. We've got customers. Tell the customers to wait. Everyone show up at agent so-and-so. Customers heard that. So they showed up and I said, let me tell you, it's not going to happen again. And I just put the law down. And the Lord just ate on me. And I mentioned to someone, they said, it needed to be done, just leave it alone. And a lawyer friend of mine, because you have to watch what you say, so a lawyer friend of mine got involved. Leave it alone. And that night the Lord woke me and said, no, you don't leave it alone. You owe them an apology. Because you weren't in me. And if you don't get it right, boy, that sore on that yoke is going to start festering. And I don't care about you eating crow. You represent me, so you just get it right tomorrow morning. You straighten it out with everybody, and that sore under that yoke will disappear, and you'll be just fine. And it did. Because I apologized. And I had people who got mad because I apologized. But I said, you don't know who's in me. And it's nothing of old Dennis. As a matter of fact, that was the old Dennis yesterday, and this is the new Dennis today. But let me ask you, those within the sound of my voice. The rest, he says, the rest, and I will give you rest, is a spiritual rest. The Jews didn't understand it. Some of us don't understand it. A peace of conscience, an ease of mind, tranquility of the soul through an application of pardoning grace, a view of free justification, of the righteousness of Christ every day, of the full atonement of sin by His sacrifice, of eternal rest herein and hereafter, in Abraham's bosom, in the arms of Jesus, in perfect and uninterrupted communion with Father, Son, and the Spirit. Rest refers to the inward holiday. So Labor Day, for you and I, absolutely is a holiday, an inward holiday, because we are called by Christ, our Savior, to rest. So let me ask you, are you resting? Are you weary? Only you can answer that question. And if you're weary and you don't know Christ, then we know why you're weary. So we're glad you're here tonight, so don't leave without accepting Christ. But if you're weary and you're one of His children, I believe most of you here are His children, then you and I need to go home and we need to check what's under the yoke of Christ. And we need to find out. You know, sometimes we let the devil get on our backs. Oh, Dennis, you've got to go to work. Oh, that again. Dennis, get your yoke off and make sure that there's no sores under Christ's yoke. Dennis, Christ has you there for a purpose, son. Christ wants you to witness to people. So you're not going to work for Dennis. You're going to work because God Almighty has blessed you with the job. And you're going to work because there are people who need to hear the gospel. And you're going to work because you need to be a witness to 65 people that's on your payroll. And you're going to work because there are 200,000 people who put you there. And they need to see a Christian man once in a while. And we need to use you. So Dennis, you need to just quit the pity party and you need to go. And some of you tomorrow, when you go to the hospital for work, when you go to school for work, when you do your routine and you have to go be a caregiver for someone who is bedridden, and you have to go to the grocery store, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. Oh, it does it. Well, y'all, it wears us out. But if you go under the yoke of Jesus Christ, praise God, you've got a place to go. Praise God, you've got a job to do. Get the sores of the yoke, your yoke, out from under your shoulders and put on Christ's yoke. And then when you go with the mind of Christ, it becomes, oh my goodness, the weight is not there. The load is not there. The burden's not there. The rut's not there. Christ is there. But only you and I can check what's under the yoke. Only you and I know. Only you and I, you and me, excuse me, we are the only ones that can control the burden that causes us to be heavy laden when we're in Christ. Something to think about, isn't it? So rest. So Jesus describes a new relation that changes us on the inside. Jesus promises to give us rest. That's an inward rest from anxieties. That's in verse 28. Jesus promises to give us a framework, a yoke by which we are guided by a strong partner, Jesus Christ Himself. That's in verse 29. Jesus promises a relationship that will be gentle and humble leadership, an understanding leader who meets our every need. And that understanding leader is Jesus Christ. And then Jesus gives us a manageable load, a system and workload that fits who we are because it's tailor-made. That's in verse 30. So when you and I start feeling heavy laden and trodden down and burdened down and we are in Christ, guess what? Christ comes right up under us and He lifts that yoke up and He walks beside us. And the burden is no longer there. Oh man, don't you get tired of the old self though, like me? Sometimes don't you just get tired of the old self? But it's good. It's good for us to take time and have spiritual inventory, which I had to do last week. Woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Lord, what is it? Got a subpoena to court Wednesday in federal court. Oh, I don't know about that. Oh, Lord, and my mind was going 1,000 miles an hour. Just stop. Just stop. Just stop. It's not about you, big boy. It's about me. And I just may have you going down to Orlando to meet this attorney from Palm Beach because I want you to witness to him. So you just don't worry about it. I'll protect the car going down there. I'll protect the car coming back. I'll take care of everything. All that I have to have, I represent 65 counties. I have to have 65 certifications the judge has ordered to represent. Don't worry about it. Hey, it's my job. And you are my spokesperson, so you just get it right with me and everything else will fall in place. That's what he's talking about. Rest. Rest. Rest, Dennis. So he says, "Come unto me, Dennis, all that labor," that's Dennis, "and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, Dennis, upon you, and learn of me, and I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul," unto Dennis's soul. "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The yoke of Christ commands is an easy yoke if you're in Christ. Christ will come up on you and shift the burden and take the yoke from you. So in closing, let me ask you, we are commanded to put on the sweet yoke of Jesus and to live the heavenly way of life and happiness. And Jesus reminds us that His burden is light. And no burden is too heavy when it's given in love and carried in love. That's the love of God. So regardless of where our Lord has you, if you do it in love, Christ's love, you will find it is no longer a burden, but an act of love, and it becomes lighter. What yoke are you carrying tonight? What's making you heavy laden and weighing you down? So, Lord, my prayer is that, Lord, you inflame our heart with love for you and for your ways, and help us to exchange the yoke of rebellion for the yoke of submission to His holy and loving word, that the Lord will set us free from the folly of our own sinful ignorance and rebellious pride, and that we may wholly desire what is good and in accord with His will in our life. So let me ask you, what legacy are you leaving to your children and to those who love you? Are you passing Christ and His gospel in action on to the next generation? Are you holding on and laboring for something that is so temporal it will flee away before the curse gets you to the graveyard? Only you can answer that. So we got a holiday in Christ. Happy Labor Day. What are you going to do with Christ? Tonight, let me ask you, if you're heavy laden and you're burdened, the altar is open. And you and the Lord can settle that tonight. And you can ask Him to put His yoke back upon you. You can ask Christ to remove the calluses from the shoulders where you have been worn down. And Christ will give you a new lift tomorrow. You can ask Christ to reveal the unforgivenesses. You can ask Christ to reveal the maliciousness that only you and Christ know that rests in your heart. And Christ, it's His promise, not mine. It's all of what He tries to get us to understand is that Christ is saying tonight to us, "I've got big plans for Crescent Beach. And we can't continue until we all become strong and let the yoke of Christ carry the burdens. And when we get it right, hold on. Put the seatbelt on. Because Christ wants to turn this community upside down for Him. And I believe that we can start a revival right here at Crescent Beach. I don't believe that He's through with us yet. I believe we see the writing on the walls for America, and it saddens my heart. It makes me just want to cry, which I do. I weep sometimes what my boys are going to have to see. But my goodness, God's still on the throne. And He's still saying, "Dennis, it may start with you. You never know." But let me ask you, this is a time only for you and the Lord. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, don't leave tonight without asking Jesus Christ. If you don't have a peace about Jesus Christ, if you have some things that He's revealed to you tonight that you need to pray and confess and get over, and tomorrow make it right, tomorrow apologize, tomorrow tell people I love you, if that's what it takes to make your load lighter, that's what Christ is saying. I want to come up under you with my yoke and lift those burdens from you, and you and I are going to get this load off of your back, and we're going to walk free and happy in the Lord. So don't leave tonight without Christ. Don't leave heavy burden. Don't leave with any animosity on your mind. Let's leave tonight holy and pure in Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You for this opportunity to share Your Word. Heavenly Father, thank You that Your Word does not return void. And I pray, Heavenly Father, they didn't look at some old redneck tax collector tonight or hear him, but that, Heavenly Father, your Holy Spirit had the scaffold out, and that your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, is dealing with the hearts of the men and the women within the sound of my voice, so that we become the children, we become the church, we become the body of Christ at Crescent Beach that you call us to be. And then, Heavenly Father, if we know of other people who have a heavy load, and you, we know and we stand on the promises that you will carry them. But Heavenly Father, also, we are responsible to our brothers and sisters. Help us to share the burdens. Help us to be prayer warriors, Heavenly Father. Help us to be the church that you call us to be. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. If you have any decision, Brother Dr. Terry, if you will lead us in a prayer, in a hymn. And if you have any decisions, if you would just like to come to the altar and pray and ask the Lord to take that load. He has promised. Isn't this a book of promises? Isn't this a personal book to you and to you and to me? He's promised to take that yoke. So if you need to, the altars are open. Come and ask Christ to take the heavy load. He will give you rest, and we can get on about the business of Jesus Christ at Crescent Beach. Thank you.